Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
Oh, hello again.
Hey, how's it going?
Welcome back, guys. Thanks for joining us today. Today, we are going to talk about how to get to know yourself. The way that this conversation came about is Adi and I were, I think we were sitting meditating one day, and she was talking about some of the things that we've learned from one another. Mm-hmm. And what she's really taught me has everything to do with relationship and giving up some of my personal preferences for the relationship, not necessarily for her, but for both of us and this relationship that we're creating for one another. And then what one thing that I've taught her is how to get to know herself and how to become more of an individual. So we're going to talk about that today. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I think it's so important to get to know yourself is because that's the only way you can really give yourself what you need. And that's the only way that you know how to ask for what you need from others. And I think a good way to look at this, to start the conversation of how do I get to know myself, is to look at how we get to know other people. So what do we do when we're getting to know someone? We make time for them.
We spend a lot of time with them. Mm-hmm. We ask them a lot of questions.
We listen to them.
We are engaged and present with them. We find out what their favorite things are. We do all sorts of activities with them. Mm-hmm. Eat with them. Figure out what their preferences are. That kind of thing. Get to know their family. Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy to believe that because we're in our own bodies and heads every day, all day, that of course we know ourselves. Mm. But how much time do you really spend alone with your own thoughts?
Yeah. Right? So, I mean, I'm a perfect example. Before I met you, I didn't really know myself. I had perpetually been in relationships that I would now define as being codependent, where like I was very dependent on that person for my own needs. Mm-hmm. And I would defer to them constantly. Like, what do you want to do? I'll do whatever you want to do. And the idea of having to decide what to do, like, what do I want to do, was incredibly anxiety provoking for me because I didn't know myself. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And spending the time to discover that was very uncomfortable for me. It was just easy to defer to my partner or my friends or whoever else mm-hmm. outside of myself. So I really don't think I knew myself.
And I think part of it was that you also didn't see the value in really becoming more of an individual and figuring out your own preferences right. and desires.
Totally.
So we've got a few things that we're going to share with you that have really worked for us, and I hope they work for you. And the first is simply to make time for yourself to be in solitude, to be alone with your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Because in today's day and age, we could literally go our entire lives without ever being alone with our thoughts. We have phones in front of us that can constantly be giving us information, that can constantly satisfy any boredom or stress through social media, through email, through texting. There's Netflix now.
We can be stimulated at all times.
Right. There's just so much entertainment all over, and we never have to be alone with our thoughts unless we're intentional about it. Mm-hmm. So the first step is to make time for this. What do you do with that time? What do you do with solitude?
Yeah. I mean, at first it was so uncomfortable for me. I mean, there was a couple times where I think at the beginning of our relationship, you went to Peru for 2 weeks mm-hmm. and I struggled really hard just being by myself. Like, I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know myself. So it was really hard. But it made me realize, like, when you're not around, what do I want to do? Mm-hmm. So sometimes I would just go for a walk, and we lived by the beach at the time. So I would go for a walk to the beach, or I would go grab a coffee, or I would go read a book. Or I would go and ask some friends to hang out because that's what I wanted to do. Or I would go eat a meal by myself. I would cook. All sorts of things like that. It was really uncomfortable at first for me to do that. But those are my go-tos, like cook, create art, go for a walk. Now we have a dog, so taking the dog for a walk. Anything to do with being creative, go work out if I want to go work out. Just anything I want because I'm by myself. Mm-hmm.
So I really like something that my friend Michael Gervais told me. He's the sports psychologist of the Seattle Seahawks. And he talks about there being different levels of experience in meditation. And he says that the first level is awareness. So becoming aware of our physical sensations, emotions, thoughts that are going on inside of us. But then as you continue practicing being alone with yourself and with your thoughts, then you uncover insight, right? You uncover wisdom that is already within you, but that's really not coming to the surface because you have all of these thoughts many times coming from outside of yourself, just floating around in your head. So you're not aware of this insight and wisdom within you. Mm-hmm. So when you regularly spend time doing things like meditation, journaling, yoga, walking, creating art, and you're practicing some sort of mindfulness, you can uncover all of this insight about who you are, what you want out of life, and just get a lot of clarity about yourself.
Yeah. It's because your mind and body have the freedom to guide you versus some external stimulus telling you which way to go. Mm-hmm. So if you're constantly doing, like I'm getting something done, I'm doing, I have a project that I'm working on, you already have the direction and the plan. Your mind and body cannot, doesn't have the opportunity to show you something that's there. It's like being hidden or clouded or overridden with what you are doing. So just having that time by yourself gives an opportunity for like the real you to, or like whatever's in there to come out.
Right. I posted this on Instagram yesterday, actually. A friend of mine had this awesome quote that he had just came up with on the spot. And he said, most people would get more out of a book with blank pages than any other book in the world. Because in today's day and age, there is absolutely no shortage of education and information. There's 1,000 times more info out there than ever. It's higher quality than ever. And so what we struggle with is not a lack of information, but a lack of understanding and a lack of how to use the information. And how we discover how to use that information in a way that serves us is by getting to know ourselves better, getting to know what we value, what we want out of life. And so obviously he's talking about a journal here, but also just spending time with yourself and your own thoughts in any way that makes sense for you is going to be very, very beneficial. So that's number one. Number two, I don't know how to categorize this, but I would say other practices, right? Other practices that allow you to go deeper. So one thing that we have in our meditation room that we'll use in journaling sometimes is we have this little deck of cards called the Know Yourself cards.
It's from the School of Life.
Schooloflife.com. They have a lot of awesome little things like that.
Yeah, it's like a journal prompt card type of thing.
So a lot of times we'll start our whole journaling session will just be free flow for like 2 or 3 pages. And we're just writing from a stream of consciousness. Whatever comes to our minds, we're writing down. But sometimes when either of us kind of get bored with that, we'll pull out one of these cards and it'll ask something kind of vulnerable. One question that it asked that was like, oh, real tough was, if you were talking disparagingly about yourself, what would you warn others about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
So it helps you like just uncover some part of yourself.
Yeah, and you have to like really think about it. Like, and it's just your journal. No one else is going to read it. So it's about getting to know yourself, which ultimately can help you show up as a better person. So, and if you just need a little bit of a push in the right direction, those cards are really awesome.
Mm-hmm. Definitely another thing I want to mention is we talk a lot about vulnerability on this show. And I think in order to be vulnerable with others, you have to learn to be vulnerable with yourself first. You have to be willing to acknowledge your weaknesses and your shortcomings and things that you've done that you're ashamed of in your past. And before you're able to really acknowledge those to yourself, it's going to be much, much harder to share that with others, to build trust with people, to build relationships, and ultimately to let go of shame in general.
Totally.
There are also a ton of different personal development courses and seminars that you can do. Over the past few years, we've done quite a bit of stuff. What have been some of your favorites?
We've done the Landmark Forum, which I absolutely love. I think that process going into that was like a super open mind and really doing, I think the biggest piece of the Landmark Forum for anyone who's interested is actually doing the work that they tell you to do. Mm-hmm. Like there's breaks in between sessions. It's exhausting. It's long, but there's breaks where they give you homework to do. Actually getting into action right away mm-hmm. is where you're going to get the most value.
100%.
So we've done the Landmark Forum and the advanced course as well. Both of them are really powerful. I loved them both. I've also been talking to a lot of what you would call, I guess, like therapists or mentors and coaches. And I really believe like therapy is an amazing way to get to know yourself. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity to be 100% focused on yourself in front of someone who's probably heard crazier shit than you could possibly ever imagine. Yep. So you probably know, like, this is a safe place for me to just expose all sides of myself. It's totally confidential. No one's ever going to hear about what happens in this room. And it's a place to just, like, out loud get to know yourself and have somebody who's an objective third party who has seen so many different types of people come through their room, help you just ask good questions and help you navigate your own thoughts and help you, you know, just like be the bumpers in like when you go bowling, like there's little bumpers to keep you out of the gutter. Mm-hmm. I think going to therapy is just like so freaking courageous and cool. And what an amazing way to get to know yourself.
Many of us have coaches in fitness and nutrition and some of us our careers, but we usually think of mental health as something that just fixes what's broken rather than making us better in some way. But we both have sought out individual and couples therapy for when things are already going really well.
And I think it's the best to do it when things are going well. It's to optimize just as much as it is to fix something that's potentially, you know, broken or hurt mm-hmm. or wounded. I think when you go into any type of therapy or personal development situation, when you're already feeling amazing about yourself, it's such a great time to do it because you're less defensive, you want to protect yourself less, and you're more open to seeing where you're wrong and where you could be better. Mm-hmm. If you're coming from a place of being wounded, you are much more likely to be protecting yourself. And it's going to be harder for you to see those areas that, you know, maybe you're doing something you don't want to do or right. you're out of alignment of the kind of person that you want to be. And it's harder to see that when you're already hurt. Mm-hmm. I think therapy and personal development in that way is such a great opportunity to access more than you already have. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a shame that people see it as you need to be broken in order to go to therapy. If anything, if it resonates with you, it's preventative, if anything. Mm-hmm. Going to therapy sooner rather than later probably will make it that you don't need it mm-hmm. later.
Yeah, when we first got together, we started seeing Annie, who's not technically a therapist, but acts sort of like one with us. And everything, like we were so in love, everything was going great. And we started seeing her once a week for a while. Mm-hmm. And over time, that's turned into once every month and a half to 2 months. And we just use it as a check-in. We use her as as bumper plates or as a mirror for what's going on, just to make sure we're on the right path.
And sometimes we just get her to poke around. Like yeah. we're just like, hey, can you poke around in my life and ask a bunch of questions? And then there is always something positive that comes out of that. Yep. I love it.
And then the third one that we've already started to mention but haven't named is uncovering blind spots. So there's this model called the Johari's window, mm-hmm. Johari window. And there's four quadrants. And on one axis, it's what I know about myself. And the other axis is what others know about me. And there's this one quadrant called blind spots, which is things that others know about me that I don't know about myself. For instance, I just uncovered this blind spot at work recently. I think I've shared this with you. I've thought for so long, I've thought this about myself that I am, I'm so empathetic. I'm so easy to get to know because I kind of wear my heart on my sleeve and I'm quick to have deep conversations with people. And in certain settings, that is absolutely true. However, in some of my work relationships, for whatever reason, people see me as more guarded and they don't see me as very forthcoming. And some of them have even expressed that I'm not that easy to get to know in the work setting. And so I had no idea. Like, this was completely off my radar.
Isn't that crazy?
Completely off my radar. And I'm so into personal development and getting to know myself better. And this was completely off of my radar. And when I first heard it, it really stung because it doesn't, that doesn't align with the story that I tell myself about myself. However, I'm someone that really craves growth in all areas all the time. And so pretty quickly, within 10 minutes probably, I looked at it as a great thing. And I was really excited about the opportunity to have identified something that I can actually work on.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what a blind spot is. The blind spot is something that you don't see.
Right.
And wanting it to remain as a blind spot doesn't change that you're doing something that's out of alignment with who you want to be. It's still there.
Yep.
So seeing it stings, but it's such an opportunity to get into alignment with the kind of person that you want to be. And everyone has blind spots. Mm-hmm. There are more blind spots and things that you don't know about yourself than things that you do know about yourself. And I feel like it's an endless game of getting to know yourself, and it's something that you could do forever and ever and ever, and it's going to continue to evolve. It's worth becoming like your own detective in just investigating yourself and catching those things that you don't notice. And it's so crazy how there are things that other people see in you that you've probably been doing for a very long time. Like, I've noticed some things in myself that I'd been doing for decades, like 20 years. And I'm like, I do that? And then you have this moment where your heart sinks because you're like, wow, I don't want to be doing that. They're right that I am doing that. And I've probably been doing that for a really long time and I can't take it back. Mm-hmm. And it just sucks. But it is so worth it. Like, what an opportunity to change and grow and be better.
So if you say that you're really growth-minded and you value growing as a human being, then you don't want to just become a detective. You want to hire detectives in your life always be looking out for you.
Right.
And when you're doing this, when you either invite feedback or someone gives you feedback on some kind of blind spot, you have to look at it as coming from a place of love. You have to remain undefensive, because if you get defensive and you snap at them or whatever, it's going to be way less likely that they're going to give you that feedback in the future. We have some people in our lives that have just created bubbles around themselves where no one can give them feedback. And these people end up just remaining unhappy and not working on the things that they need to work on, because anytime someone gives them feedback, they flip it around on them or they get defensive.
Or they justify.
Exactly. And it's already a vulnerable thing to bring up, right? To give someone direct feedback. It's one thing to do with a partner, but it's a total another to do with, say, a friend. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times I think people say like friends are off limits. Everything should always be peachy keen. And so it's a really vulnerable thing to do. And if you get defensive with that person, then it's going to be even that much harder for them to do it ever again.
Totally. And also on that same vein, if whoever you ask for feedback from does not use appropriate bedside manner and does not give you feedback the way that you want to receive feedback, take a minute. Like, take their feedback seriously, and then later on maybe have a conversation with them being like, I'm so grateful that you had the courage to give me feedback. I know that was probably really hard. In the future, I would love to be able to continue asking you for feedback. is it possible for me to let you know the best way for me to receive that? Mm-hmm. And then maybe give them some pointers that way. Because I know it's hard. Like, this whole thing, everything is so uncomfortable in this space. Like, it's messy. And expecting your friend or partner to give you feedback exactly the way that you want it to be received is, like, so unrealistic. Mm-hmm. So just giving them grace if they don't do it the exact way that you're looking for.
I like that. Giving them grace. Okay, guys, I have a challenge for you, actually, along these lines, because I think that this is one of the most beneficial yet underutilized tools that we have in understanding ourselves better. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I've done in a lot of seminars before, and I really challenge you to take this seriously. So I want you to pull out your phones right now, or if you're driving, don't do that.
But
as soon
not
as you can,
right now,
as soon as you can, I want you to pull up your phone and open up your text messages. And I want you to write down the name of someone that you really trust, someone that you feel like you can be a little vulnerable with. It could be a partner, a friend, a family member, a colleague, someone that you really trust yourself to be vulnerable with. And then I want you to text them, hey, whoever their name is, I'm listening to the WAG podcast right now and the cashews are crazy.
I'm listening to the WAG podcast right now and I would love if you gave me one thing that I'm doing really awesome, or like mm-hmm. they're encouraging me to collect feedback from people in my life. I would love it if you could tell me one thing that I do really great in my life right now and one thing that I could be better at.
Exactly. I've said that so many times. How did I forget?
So yeah, one thing that you're doing really great and one thing that you could be better at. And if you want to assure them, be like, I'm not going to get defensive about it. And I would love for you to be open and honest in case they might be a little bit afraid.
And if you feel so inclined, something that I will often include is, and you don't have to sugarcoat it. Because ooh, yeah. when we request this from people a lot of times, or when people are giving us feedback in general, they tend to really minimize feedback.
Totally.
So if you give them permission not to sugarcoat it, you could get the raw, like actually what they think or feel.
And that's what you want. As much as it hurts, it's what you want, because yep. that's the information, that's your blind spot. That's the information you're missing, and it gives you a chance to be better.
Yeah.
Take that challenge. Let us know how it goes. If it was useful to you, send us a DM on Instagram or an email to info@workingagainstgravity.com. We would love to hear how this challenge has gone for you. But I'll wrap up how to get to know yourself.
Do it.
So one, spend time with yourself. Spend time in solitude with yourself, not being distracted by other people or other things, meaning like spending time journaling, meditating, walking, just doing, creating things, cooking, things that aren't like guiding you in terms of what you're learning or absorbing. So just spending some time being, anything that means for you. It could be sitting on the front porch on a swing and just like hanging out and listening to the birds, like whatever it is, spend some time with yourself. Number two is try different types of practices or seminars or strategies that maybe have more of a structure to getting to know yourself. So one of those we talked about was journal prompts from theschooloflife.com. We use the Know Yourself journal prompts. Those ones are really great. It could be going to therapy, which therapy is cool, people. Very cool. Or going to some type of personal development seminar. I know there's like the Tony Robbins seminar, the Landmark Forum, all sorts of different seminars like that that have a structure for getting to know yourself. Mm-hmm. And then the third one was ask for feedback and discover your blind spots. So that is things that you don't know about yourself, but other people know about you. Become a detective yourself, as well as hiring other detectives to help you discover those things about yourself. And then take our challenge and let us know how it goes.
God damn, you're good at that.
Dang.
Later, guys.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram @workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.